It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to be reading today from verse 26 to verse 30. So please, you'd open your Bibles up to chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read from there through the end of the chapter to verse 30. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to drop me a note or a card, I'd love to hear from you in the comments. I'd love to hear most of all that you have taken care of this decision in trusting in the Lord Jesus, coming by faith to Jesus. If you'd like to let me know, and so I can be praying for you and lifting you up, anything that I can help you with. Well, our address here, again, is Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. So please that you let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Now to begin the study, Philippians chapter 1, reading from verse 26 through verse 30. It says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you for of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we do thank you that we have an opportunity. It's a joy to proclaim your precious word, and I ask that you will bless each and every hearer of your word. Everyone that is listening, I ask that you'll touch their heart. I ask that you'll bring them to you, that they'll be saved. Jesus, you bring salvation to us by means of the cross of Calvary. And I ask that we listen so carefully today as we talk about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I ask that we make a decision for the Lord Jesus. And I ask that we be saved and sit down and serve you and walk after you. And I ask, Father, that you'll touch our hearts as we study through these sweet verses of Scripture. And I ask that when we finish this today, that we won't be the same as we started, that we'll always draw closer and closer to you. And I ask that you'll guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you know, it's so much fun to study the Word of God. There's nothing I enjoy more than opening up the precious Scripture and studying verse by verse to see how the Holy Spirit is going to teach, how it's going to touch my heart and change my life. Before we begin, last week at the very close, we just had a couple minutes, and I always listen to the tape when I finish, and there's things that you don't realize you say, and I want to correct something, and that is last week I spoke of the spiritual baptism. We do have a spiritual baptism that takes place in our life, and that's the day we meet Jesus. We are immersed in Christ, and it's great to be spiritually baptized, but I was speaking of the physical baptism, to go down into the water and come up out of the water, picturing what's taken place in your heart. So the physical baptism is a picture of the physical baptism that took place. And so the great work that Jesus does in your heart, to go down into the water shows the death, coming up out of the water shows the resurrection. I wanted to correct that before we started today. I always try to listen very carefully, and I never want to proclaim something that is incorrect. And so please, as we visit over the Word of God together, I want you to know that I have prayed over this Word and asked the Lord to give me great wisdom to proclaim the truth. And so please listen very carefully as we do fellowship together over this precious Word. You know, let's back up just a verse here. We started with verse 26, and we've been through most of these verses, but you know, when we go from one week to the next, I know that you've had a lot of activities going on through the week, and as I have, and you know, just for me to keep straight one study from another study, I need to back up a little bit and review and remember what we discussed last week. And so, you know, all the way back in verse 21, we talked what Paul, the great joy that Paul has in his heart, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And then down in verse 24, it says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." It was better that Paul would stay here. Oh, he was ready to go home. He was ready to be and be in the hands and the arms of Jesus. But he realized that it was just a little bit better that he would stay and be on this earth a little bit longer for the furtherance of the gospel. And oh, that our life would be set as Paul's, that we would have a mind not for physical gain, not a mind of great wealth so that we can retire and just kind of do what we want to do. Too often when people retire from their job, from their work, they also retire from God. They retire from the service of the church. They say, "I have done all I need to do, and it's time for the younger people to start taking my place." There is always plenty to do around the house of God, and don't ever think it's time for you to quit and retire. Maybe you'll change what you're doing a little bit, but never quit on God, because He never quit on you. He went all the way to the cross. He died on that cross that you and I might live. If He didn't quit on you, you best not quit on Him. You set your eyes upon Jesus. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, let's get to work. And that means for young and old alike. Paul here, even though he was getting physically tired and he was ready to go home, he still knew there was a work for him to do here, and it would be better if he would stay. And verse 25 says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith." Oh, isn't that great that we'd further the gospel, and I can stay with you, and the goal is that we tell people about Jesus. Isn't that a sweet goal, that we tell people about Jesus? It's a wonderful opportunity we have to talk about Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. And you know, we never can never want to miss an opportunity to tell people how to be saved. This precious radio program, the purpose of this program is that we can the opportunity to tell people that they have a chance. You have an opportunity to be saved. In John chapter 3, and if we begin with a very familiar verse of Scripture, and that is in verse 16, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's the reason for the gospel. That's the reason for Jesus going to the cross. God loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son that we can be saved. That's the purpose of this program, that people understand that it's not just good enough to go to church. It's not just good enough to live a good life. You must, by faith, come to Jesus. It's something you need to do. A lot of people think that if you're chosen, then you're one of them, and that's it. There's a decision you must do. You must turn your life from its wicked way and turn unto Jesus. He gives you the faith to do that. He gives you the strength to do that. And He also gives you opportunity to do that. And you're hearing it today. I ask that you come to Jesus and be saved today. Don't stand on any old-fashioned ways that you've had, unless that old-fashioned way is a simple gospel. Come by faith to Jesus with a broken heart and say, "Jesus, would you please save me?" Verse 18 continues in John chapter 3, verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the only difference between the one that is going to hell and one that's going to heaven. There's only one difference between it, and that is the difference of you coming to the Son, coming to Jesus Christ by faith. That's the only difference. It divides it very clearly there in John. If you don't believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, and you refuse to come by faith to Him, you refuse to make a decision, an open decision, to come to Jesus and be saved, you are condemned already. If you will come to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him by faith, then He will give you eternal life, joy, peace, the excitement of walking after the Lord Jesus. So please, that you see that today, and that's the strength, and that's the joy that come to Paul's heart here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, "with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith." Please, that we walk after the Lord Jesus and visit with folks, tell people how to be saved, "that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming unto you again." Wouldn't it be great that we would look to that as not being boastful or proud, because Paul sure wasn't. But Paul had the sweetest message. And for us to live that way. And I believe that your life would change if you lived that way, because I think you'd never miss an opportunity to be in the house of God. Oh, for you to come into the house of God thinking that someone may be sitting next to you. Or because of your coming, you could be stronger and know the Word of God. And yet our houses, the house of God, is lacking. The people don't come. They don't come to study the Word of God. They think they're good enough. They think they have enough. My friends, you don't. When the door opens, be there. Be there because you may be able to walk out with somebody and sit down with them, and maybe they didn't understand how to be saved. Kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch as he was traveling back, and he was sent a great messenger of the Word of God, and he said, "How can I understand unless some man tell me?" You might be that person to tell somebody that's lost that they shrug their shoulders and don't understand. If you know Jesus, then you understand, and it's your responsibility and your great joy to give that news out. Oh, my friend, again, verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Oh, by me being there, by me coming to see you, just one more opportunity to folks hear the precious, sweet gospel and be saved. Only let your conversation or your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, not having and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Isn't that a beautiful verse of Scripture? That we would be one and have one purpose, and that is furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And you know, when we come together, you know, there wouldn't be any church fusses, would there? There wouldn't be any fighting going on in church. There wouldn't be any dissension going on in church. There wouldn't be any backbiting going on in church if we had one goal, and that is to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Because, you see, we would be so centered upon telling this lost and dying world that Jesus died for them that we wouldn't have time, nor would we want to, because I got this dear sister telling somebody about Jesus. I got this dear brother telling somebody about Jesus. And they come back and they say, "Hey, I was able to sit down and show them the Word of God." You know, I took them to John chapter 3 and went through the 16th through the 18th verse. Took them to John chapter 5. I took them to Romans chapter 3 verse 23. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 13. I showed them these sweet verses that say so clearly and so simply how that we just have to turn unto the Lord Jesus, and He will save us. And He will keep us. It's a beautiful Word of God. And to have brothers and sisters in Christ coming unto the house of God and say, "Hey, I got to tell my cousin about Jesus. Hey, you know, finally I got to sit down with my father or my mother. I got to sit down with my cousin. I got to sit down with my brother or sister. I got to sit down with a friend. You know, I was in the mall, and I just sat down to rest a minute. And somebody sat down next to me. And, you know, we got to visiting a little bit. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door for me. And I got to ask them, 'Do you know Jesus as your Savior?' And, you know, they said no. And I was able to pull a New Testament out of my pocket and show them how to be saved. That's the kind of witnesses that you like to hear. That's what Paul wanted to hear back. He wanted to hear that here in the 27th verse. "Whether I come to see you or be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, of what's going on, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Oh, that we would strive to give the gospel out in such a strength and manner as you work at your job. You serve diligently to your master here as far as his job, and you should. You should work as hard as you possibly can work and give him as much as you are hired. The job you're hired to do, you should fulfill that. But I'll tell you what, it shouldn't be no match for the desire of our heart to give out the gospel continually, that we love to see people saved. And because of this, because of a desire of our heart and a oneness of our heart, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You know, that's something. We get worried. We get concerned about the enemy. Many times people don't like the trial and tribulation. They don't want to walk, or they know if they would talk to somebody of a different church, a different denomination, that they stir people up. You know, you hear about that all the time. Preacher moves to town and has an opportunity to go down to visit the neighbors, and all of a sudden it's not too long that the the neighbors maybe upset them because they go to the other church across town. And because you're out visiting, that means you're trying to steal church members. No, you're not. That person's out there trying to lead you to Jesus so that you'll be saved. Don't go to hell. And his first desire of his heart is not that you fill his church. The desire of his heart is that you be saved, that you know Jesus as your Savior. And to do that, then all of a sudden, if you start telling people and you start talking to people from other churches, they become offended. They don't know Jesus. And it offends them when you ask them, no, I go to this church or that church. And I'm not going to name any churches because there's lost people in every church. But I tell you what, when somebody that cares for you enough that's going to come and visit you and tell you of the love of Jesus, and you become offended, then you're no Christian at all. Maybe you don't go to that same church, and you may never go to that church. But if somebody comes to you to explain the gospel to you, the death, burial, and resurrection, and tell you that Jesus saves, and you get upset, then you're not a believer. You better examine that heart of yours, because it's cold and it's dead and it needs a Savior. It needs Jesus. So I ask that you open that heart up and you be saved. You trust in the Lord Jesus. Come by faith to Jesus. Turn unto Him. That beautiful picture we have, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Oh, that we not only His... As Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, all of the sins of mankind were laid upon Him. Were literally nailed to the cross when Jesus was nailed there. When He was placed upon the cross, so was our sins placed upon the cross. And when Jesus died, that was death to our sin, we died. And then when we have the resurrection, and we also was buried, 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, we were buried. Our sins were put to death and buried. And as we've talked about in Leviticus concerning the two goats on the Day of Atonement, one goat was put to death, and the blood was presented unto the Holy of Holies unto God, and the other was led up into the mountains, never to return. Well, that's the way our sin is dealt with, too, because when Jesus died on the cross, it's finished. It's not just an offering of some sort, like a lamb or something like that would take the place. Jesus did it all, and He paid it all because He was perfect. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save you and me, He did that. And He completed the work. And then we not only have forgiveness of sins, but we also have life in Jesus Christ. Not only our sins are taken away, but then He came out of that grave 3 days and 3 nights later, showed Himself, was evidence of the resurrection, and He is alive today in the presence and the right hand of God the Father. Now please that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Please that you listen to this program. And if you say, my church doesn't talk that way, my church doesn't believe in this personal commitment, well, it should. Your church should. It doesn't even deserve to have the name of Jesus Christ, have the name of a church, if you don't preach the gospel, tell people how to be saved, and tell them you better get out of it. You better nail something else to that door of your building and get that name of the church away, you know, because it's you got no reason to call it a church. The church is a body of believers that come together, and you got to trust by faith in Jesus to be a believer. Oh, that we would know, but you know, when these people, and you know, you do, people persecute you, and people make fun of you and kid you when you continue to tell them that Jesus saves and continue to give the gospel to them. And many times we back off because we don't like that persecution. We don't like that kidding. That's a pretty weak excuse for calling it persecution. But we do, and it's just enough we stop. Oh, we don't want to force our beliefs on somebody else. It's not our beliefs. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Yes, I believe it. But if I didn't believe it, it wouldn't be any less true. And we need to take out that precious gospel. And if we're going to face some tribulations, some trials, we praise God for it. Stand up for it. And it says here, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The enemy can't touch you. Oh, he can hurt the body. But he sure can't touch the soul. He can't snatch that joy and that peace away from you. He can't snatch that comfort away from you, because you are owned, purchased, bought, and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, and he can't touch you. Oh, that's a glorious thing. Paul's been beaten repeatedly. Over and over again he's been beaten. But my friend, he knows the joy. He knows that precious joy of walking after the Lord Jesus, and he doesn't care if he's been beaten half to death, because he'll stand up and rejoice. I have been beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give it out again and again and again. Oh, that we don't back up and stay away from telling people how to be saved. No matter where you go, no matter who you see, please tell them, I got some great news for you. I know somebody that you need to know. I know Jesus. And don't be worried about, we've been on Wednesday night, and if you've missed an opportunity and could have been here on Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. Because on Wednesday night, we've been opening up the scripture in the book of Numbers, and we have the Israelites as they begin to go into the promised land. And as we're looking at the protection that God has given, last week we read through several verses of scripture that had very difficult names, names of towns and places that the nation of Israel, the people of the Israelites, that the places they had been in the 40 years as they'd wandered. It took us in that one chapter, it has led us from the beginning of leaving Egypt at the Passover, and it took us all the way to the Promised Land. And in one chapter, it brought all that together, and it was something because God has taken care of those people. They refused him, and when they left the land of Canaan the first time, they refused to go into a Promised Land. And they found themselves in the wilderness, and everyone of the age of 20 and over died. And so now we have a new generation at the door of the Promised Land. They're beginning to go in, starting to go in. And so it's so important that we don't miss the Promised Land. Now, a lot of people think that's heaven. We've got to wait for that. No, we can have that peace here. We can have the comfort here. And I look forward to seeing the peace and the comfort. Because, you see, in heaven, we don't have to run the enemy out. But here, we have an enemy. And that old enemy is the devil. And we need to understand that we're fighting him, and we're against him, and we're at war with him, and we need to fight with him. And yet it says here, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. People that persecute you, praise God for it. It means something different for them, because those that persecute you, it tells in verse 28, which is to them an evident token of perdition. By them persecuting the Christian, it is very clear who they are and what they're made of. They don't know Jesus. And so when I said earlier, if somebody comes by and maybe it's a family member or something like that, and they come to you and they want to share the gospel with you, and you become offended because they're going to a different church or they're doing something, but they're telling you one thing, and that is, I want to tell you that Jesus saves. And if you get upset about that, and you start to kid them, you start to criticize them among the other family members, there's one of those Jesus freaks. You know, we get a lot of names. I've been called a blood worshiper because I believe in the power and the presence of that precious blood of Jesus. I don't care, because that's in the Word of God, and I stand upon the truth, the Word of God. And we need to be very, very careful that we look unto the Word of God and stand upon it. And I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I know that he shed his blood for me. And I know that blood was presented unto the Father in the Holy of Holies in heaven, in the tabernacle, not made with hands, the book of Hebrews tells us. I got verse of scripture after verse of scripture, but many people want to ignore that. And so they call you names. They come up with things that are trying to offend you and give you a difficult time. I love Jesus. And I walk after Jesus, and I tell people about Jesus. And I hope that you do too. And when that persecution comes, don't worry about it. It just kind of shows the enemy's color. It kind of shows you who that person is run and controlled by. If someone gets upset because you're telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not bought and paid for by Jesus. They're owned by the devil, and they're walking by the devil. And if that's your case right now, maybe somebody has just witnessed to you, or maybe you're listening to this program, it upsets you. Move forwards, my friend. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Don't be upset. Just listen to these precious words. Jesus saves. Turn your heart to Jesus now. Ask him to come into your heart and save you. Please, don't turn away from Jesus. If you are one of those that persecute the church, too many times there is some suffering that goes on, and it's kind of brought on themselves. I'm talking about real, honest, true persecution. I'm talking about someone that is giving you a difficult time, a rough time, a very tough time, because you are giving out the gospel, telling them that they're a sinner, they're lost, and they need to be saved. Now, that's the kind of persecution, the people that are telling people how to be saved. Sometimes there's lifestyles and things like that they say, I am suffering for Jesus. But in reality, they're just suffering for self. And it's kind of like the old Pharisees. They were to see their face was supposed to be drawn in because they were fasting in the name of God. And all these things, you know, they wanted people to see. And they would pray at the corner of the street and look so humble and everything. A lot of people do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about walking after Jesus, following after him, telling people how to be saved. If you're persecuted because of that, you go right on, brother or sister. You tell people Jesus died for them. And when the enemy shows their face, they get kind of ugly sometimes, and it just showing who they really are. But it says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be scared of them. They can't hurt you. They're not going to. And they can't touch you because you're God's. And again, physically, yes. Spiritually, no. Don't worry about them. Anything they can do to the body, don't worry about. God's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. And he's going to keep your soul. And so please that you look unto him. Again, the evident token of perdition. And in 2 Thessalonians, we have verses 4 through 6 in chapter 1. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God's going to get them. You know, that's the thing. We think we have to get even. We kind of have that in our mind. We got to get even, and we don't. It's God's work. We're God's servants. We don't have to worry about that. We need to worry about one thing or set our eyes and heart about one thing, and that is serving Jesus. Being as holy as we can be, not a self-righteous holy, but a holiness that God gives us, a care, a humble walk, a service unto the Lord that is pleasing unto him, to walk very quietly and very lovingly, giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, we're told in Revelation chapter 4 or chapter 6, verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" You know, it had been so long, and this is during the tribulation period, and they wonder, how long, how much longer is it going to be before, Lord? And that's the step that's coming, be the rapture of the church, and then the tribulation. And during that time, they're going to wonder, God, how long are you going to wait before you bring vengeance upon those wicked people? And they were asking that question. Now, I ask that you would search your heart and know that you know the Lord Jesus. Know that that you understand there's going to be tribulation. But understand that God's hand is upon them and he will judge. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. God will judge. And you know, we have in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, because it tells us here that there's two steps to it. It says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Which is to them an evident token of perdition. Those that persecute you, they're just showing their own color. But to you of salvation and that of God. My friend, we're going to start there next week. I ask that you'll examine your heart. I ask that you know the Lord Jesus. I ask that you trust in the Lord Jesus today. Ask him into your heart. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?